You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well on this Good Friday. Had a Easter weekend. We, of course, have a lot to talk about in terms of the Iran war. Some major developments happening over the last 24 hours. None of them good. All of them easily predictable. And we did predict it. It appears as though some sort of ground invasion probing force is at work on the coast of Iran. And they're being supported by a whole cadre of various aircraft. We reported yesterday that A-10 Warthogs were seen moving towards the Middle East. Those, of course, are infantry support aircraft. So that's what you use to clear the ground before the infantry goes in. That's what they're used for. That was a symbol, a sign that, yes, indeed, the ground invasion of Iran was imminent, and it appears to have gotten off to an absolutely terrible start. Also, of course, we'll get into the purging of the Pentagon and the generals being fired. This is from Limitless at Limitless Cobbs on X. It says, holy cow, catastrophic morning for the U.S. air campaign in Iran. An F-15E Strike Eagle was shot down over Koguliya province, wreckage confirmed by Warzone. Ejection seat found and photographed by Iranian civilians. A rescue helicopter was also reportedly shot down. Iranian state TV broadcasting a bounty for American pilots, promising a valuable reward for any Iranian who were to capture one of the downed pilots. Trump, 24 hours ago, said that Iran was eviscerated, that the war was essentially over, and certainly that their air defenses were no longer anything to be concerned about. The running total so far is 483, followed by about 100 zeros. Let's see if I can even figure out what number I'm looking at here. I think this is 4.8 billion. Yeah, 4.8 billion. All right. Sometimes, you know, when you're talking about trillions and hundreds of millions, it gets confusing sometimes. So, yeah, nearly $5 billion in assets destroyed, 25-plus aircraft, 6 F-15s down. Trump, just 24 hours ago, said, you know, bragging about eviscerating Iran and saying that the war is over. These would be the first American POWs of the entire war if the pilots were captured. Now, one has been rescued. One is still missing. And it is likely that he was captured because, of course, there are GPS locators on their uniforms and the ejection seats. And so if they cannot be found by the, you know, GPS coordinates, then it means they've been removed from their equipment. This person says, I just got off the phone with a former CENTCOM operations officer. What he told me made my stomach drop. When they deny the jet exists, but the wreckage is on camera, the next move is always the worst one. This is not a war winding down. This is a war that just produced hostages. And of course, I don't think I need to tell you this if you're a regular viewer. All of this was predictable. All of this was obvious. I saw a bunch of headlines yesterday saying, the Pentagon was shocked at the resilience of Iran. They did not expect such a resistance. And I just want to say again, how did we know? How is it that the Pentagon didn't know, but we did? That doesn't make any sense. No, they knew. Of course they knew. Maybe they didn't want to believe. Maybe they were so just controlled by hubris and self-importance, they thought it didn't matter what the facts on the ground were, but to pretend like nobody knew that this is what was going to happen is absolutely ridiculous. Obviously, it was never a good idea to do a ground invasion. And even just a tiny little, you know, whatever, Mission Impossible, Ocean's 11 heist to get the uranium always comes with the risk of those soldiers being captured, becoming POWs, forcing a rescue mission, which itself could get shot down, causing more problems. You know, it's like the old lady that swallowed the fly and had to swallow a spider and then a frog and then a cat and then a dog. It's like, yeah, this is the snowball effect, folks. If only Trump could do it himself. So it ain't going well, folks. It's not going well. We have supposed footage of this all happening, the fighter jet going down. We go to clip number 18 here. This purports to be the footage of the actual jet going down, I believe. We can go to this. So this was released by the Iranian media, claiming to show the F-15E being shot down above Iran. And once it crashed down, you had the search commence. And again, the search in and of itself was, you know, kind of odd. There's the ejection seats being deployed. The ejection seats, of course, have the parachutes and they have GPS trackers on them. But the pylons weren't there. So then we had to scan the ground with, you know, scanning equipment on helicopters. Now apparently a helicopter has been brought down. We can go to clip number 20. This is Iranian tribesmen using their rifles, their hunting rifles, to open fire on the U.S. rescue aircraft. We can go to clip number 20 now. You can bring the audio up a little bit. Some pretty dramatic gunshot noises and screaming of people. But yeah, there's lots of videos of these Iranian tribesmen just on their own shooting their rifles at the American Air Force. In this case, I think they're shooting at the helicopter, the search and rescue helicopter. So it doesn't seem like they're embracing us as liberators. You know, I saw somebody suggest maybe they can't find the pilots because the Iranian people are helping to hide them. No, they got their guns out and are shooting at them. Clip 29, I believe, is a similar video, although this may show, again, this purports to be, and again, there's so much AI and so much. The facts on the ground, as I'm reporting them, are confirmed. These videos, not necessarily each and every one of them has been confirmed, but there's a lot of AI out there, and I avoided a lot of it. But I believe this is, purports to be at least, a video of the Iranians perhaps capturing one of the pilots that was there. We can go to clip number 19 here. This is a report from ABC News about some of the new unexpected technology that Iran deployed in order to take down this extremely advanced fighter jet. Let's watch.
Colonel Ganier, what does this mean for U.S. jet strikes and other aerial missions moving forward?
That the skies are not as safe as they perhaps presumed. My guess is that this was daytime. My guess is that that the Iranians used what's called infrared. So they used detection that's passive, that used heat differences. The president did say that their radars rolled down, and so he probably can claim that legitimately. But the fact that there are still anti-aircraft kinds of capabilities that are based on heat temperature differences that can identify aircraft and still target aircraft is probably what got this air, this F-15.
So once again, just the very fact that they can shoot down a jet shows that everything Trump said during his speech the day before yesterday can't have been true, is not true, obviously, because we don't control the airs. We don't control the airspace. We don't control and have not wiped out Iran's missile launching capability. Go to clip number 3 now. This is a prominent Iranian correspondent, I believe, talking about rumors of not just planes going down, but intense infantry clashes inside Iran. Let's watch.
Well, the state TV has said that Iran has downed an American fighter jet. They say it's F-35. Now, we cannot confirm that from our side, and that two U.S. pilots are missing inside the Iranian territories. This took place towards the west of the country in the areas of Luristan, between the areas of Luristan. And now we're hearing that, according to information that's circulating here on Iranian media, that the U.S. is conducting search operations for pilots who fell in two areas, Kaghalu and Bur Ahmed, as well as in Bushehr. Airdrop operations have been carried out and intense clashes. So what the Iranians are saying is that there are intense clashes between these forces and Iranian ground forces from the Revolutionary Guards in the Dalam region, resulting in casualties among the invading forces. This is based on what the Iranians are saying. So
again, eminently predictable. Could not have gone more to the script, right? I mean, it's just exactly what we always expected. Going into Iran, knowing that we haven't taken out their missile defense, knowing that we don't actually control their airspace, but they lied and said that we did. We told you we didn't. Just, I mean, again, it's like, what is going on in the world where literally just like we know more about this stuff than the White House, apparently? Again, doesn't make any sense. It's a ridiculous thing to think that we would somehow have better information and know more than they're lying. They're lying to you. Do you understand? So we knew that their air defense was not destroyed. We knew that a ground invasion was imminent. We knew that once they tried to do a ground invasion, it would probably be something small, but that there would be casualties and likely POWs, and that would necessitate a rescue operation, which itself would be targeted and could quickly spiral out into a wider conflict. This is a script that we laid out as soon as this conflict started, and they're following it to a T. You should really ask yourself why. Now let's go to clip number four here. This is a retired U.S. general admitting the terrifying truth about the Strait of Hormuz. Let's watch. Clip number four, sorry.
Wall Street Journal writes in one of the editorials today, the only reason why Iran is surviving this war is because of the Strait of Hormuz. The Iranian thinking is, at the end, the Strait must remain under the control because it's their only deterrence. I guess you kind of agree with that. So what do we do about it?
Well, there's a thought that once we stop operations with all assigned objectives, we're going to go to our own self-imposed ceasefire, that Iran will eventually open up the straits. That is likely. They will likely at some point open it up. But the reality is they're in control, and we cannot let that stand. That is the issue. Not that they would open it up. It's the fact that they are in control. And that would be a strategic victory for them, because then they're impacting our allies and partners in the region. They're controlling when do they shut it down. They could shut it down again and interfere with things when things aren't exactly going their way. That cannot happen, in my view. What we have to do is open it up ourselves, and we have the capability to do that. There are well-thought-out plans to do that.
So you've seen these plans?
I understand in general sense what it is. And those plans, the people in charge of them have a lot of confidence in doing it because they play war games and the like to do this sort of thing. We think we can absolutely accomplish that mission. And then at some point, we would pass it to allies and partners for them to continue to do it. We may have to give them a couple of assets that we have that uniquely that they may not have. But nonetheless, this is a very doable, and we certainly cannot leave Iran in control where they shut that down and open it up at will. That would change the Middle East and give them huge amount of influence, and that would be staggering after almost 2 months of taking all their offensive capability away from them and leave them as a huge geopolitical advantage, which that gives them.
So that's like worst case scenario. I mean, as of right now, without some major change, and it looks like the attempts to do something are being intercepted and prevented, the only, like, the ultimate upshot outcome of this war will have been that we surrendered the Strait of Hormuz to Iran. That's what he's talking about right there. Basically, that is a very viable outcome at this point. Without getting into, like, total World War III, which we'll probably choose to do anyway. But I want you to understand just how, yeah, Trump administration underestimated Iran's impact on Strait of Hormuz. Just like, but how, though? That's like, if that's true, they should all be fired. That's the thing. If they actually didn't know this was going to happen, they should all be probably not just fired, but, you know, tarred and feathered while we're at it. Because you'd have to be an idiot. You'd have to be an absolute idiot not to know exactly how this would go. And it's easy to say that after the fact, but we said it before the fact, which is why it's important that InfoWars be on the air to be here so we can tell you, hey, here's what's really going to happen. Here's the reality of the, you know, situation on the ground. So then later when they come out and go, oh, gee, we couldn't have expected this. You can point back to our shows where we predicted exactly how it would happen as proof that they're lying. You understand? I want you to understand how badly this is going right now. We've got stories from The Intercept claiming that the casualty figures that we've been given here in America are significantly undercounting the real number of injured and dead American soldiers. We are in less of a secure place than we were at the start of this war. Iran is more in control of the Strait of Hormuz than they were at the start of the war. Of course, our off-ramps are routinely obliterated, destroyed, deconstructed by Israel when they kill the people that we are hoping to work with. But like, it's almost too much to think about it a single time how many different ways this has gone bad. It's like hard to even explain, but I want to go to clip number 10 here, because when you think about the fact we're 5 weeks into this war, as of tonight, we've lost men, we've lost billions and billions of dollars of very expensive and hard to replace equipment. The energy shocks around the world are going to continue for a long time. The fertilizer shocks we haven't even started to feel yet, but will be devastating. There's like geopolitical realignment that is all opposed to our, you know, benefits and priorities. India just bought oil from Iran for the first time ever because of what's happening. So we now have our allies buying oil from our enemies as a consequence of our action, kind of like exactly what happened between Russia and China. I mean, it goes on and on, right? We're still in it. We're still not, like, we're still apparently gearing up for a ground invasion. In fact, I don't know, did you guys censor the video of the soldier talking about deploying? Let's go to clip number 9 here, just because this is, you know, it's still American young men. The best and brightest, most patriotic of us are being sent probably to die in this, you know, godforsaken debacle. Well, here's one of them. Let's watch.
Well, guys, we just got emergency orders. I guess I'm going to Iran. So that's a thing. I guess they're canceling the whole training rotation so that they can emergency send our asses to go fight in the war. Nice knowing you guys. It's your dude, Jordo.
So there you go. Not exactly thrilled about it, but he knows what's coming. But all this is to say, this was so unnecessary. There was no imminent threat, as confirmed by everybody who's not Trump lying, Pete Hegseth lying, Marco Rubio lying. They told us themselves that the imminent threat was from Israel attacking Iran, knowing that Iran would counterattack, but apparently not understanding how big the counterattack would be. So again, doesn't make a lot of sense. We had no reason to go to war with Iran. We were negotiating with Iran. The people even that we were working with ostensibly to take over Iran after we kill all of their leadership were then killed by Israel. And it turns out what's been revealed today, clip number 10 from David Rode, was that Iran was actually willing to make gigantic concessions and had told Trump's negotiators, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, that they're willing to surrender all of their enriched uranium in exchange for security guarantees, meaning that this entire war was essentially solved, could have been totally avoided if we had just stuck with the diplomacy that was having tangible success. Instead, we killed everybody we were negotiating with and are now in this absolute quagmire with everything going bad. But let's watch this reveal earlier today of what the Iranians had offered to the Americans for the during the last meeting 5 weeks ago, right before we bombed a bunch of their children. Let's watch.
Iran offered to give away all of its enriched uranium during the peace talks. And hours later, the U.S. started dropping bombs. And The Guardian broke yesterday that there were British officials, the British National Security Advisor was present in Geneva during that last round of talks. The British were surprised by the Iranian offer. They thought it was credible. They thought the talks should continue. And the British were shocked when the Trump administration started bombing Iran hours later.
So that just, I mean, it just shows you how pointless this war was, is to this day. Totally unnecessary. We could have gotten everything that we wanted. Now we apparently have an American POW missing somewhere in Iran, invasion rescue force being staged to try to go in and save them, meaning that this snowball is really starting to roll down the hill, and it's only going to get worse as this feedback loop really gets into motion. Totally avoidable from not just the beginning, but from before the beginning. This was never even remotely necessary, never even... I just can't believe it. I just cannot believe how deliberate all of this is. Nothing has forced our hand on any of this except for Israel, right? Iran wasn't threatening to attack us, did not have plans to attack us. We're in the middle of negotiating, and were willing to give us everything that we wanted, that apparently this war was focused on, right? So we start the war 5 weeks ago with this checklist of things that we want to achieve. The primary one, the main one, that all the other ones are in service of, is getting rid of their enriched uranium, right? That's the main goal. You got to get rid of their Navy, you got to get rid of their missile launchers, but all that is just because you want to get that uranium. Now, in the 5 weeks since we announced this goal of getting their uranium and destroying their nuclear program, it's changed. Now our goal is to simply mitigate the effects of the war by opening the Strait of Hormuz. Seems like we're not even really trying to open the Strait of Hormuz anymore. And so the actual goal of the war in the first place, that could have been achieved through diplomacy, we had the offer on the table hours before we chose to start the war. Yet instead of even achieving that goal that was just right there, imminently available, ready to be picked up, we didn't do it through diplomacy. And now it's not even in the top three or four potential outcomes for this war that we're currently pursuing. Now it's gone back to, let's just try to mitigate, let's just try to undo the consequences of this war that we started by opening the Strait of Hormuz. And Trump came out 2 days ago saying, actually, we're not even trying to open the Strait of Hormuz. That's going to be on Europe. So again, I'm just trying to lay out, just, you know, from my memory, just like how many off-ramps we could have had that have been deliberately ignored or destroyed, how pointless this entire conflict was in the first place, and how the negative consequences will unravel before us.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramathsore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good, because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working, because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.